Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The Match Ball.
Welcome to the Match Ball 30 and a happy new year to you. It's Dan Michael and Moscow White taking you through the 1991-1992 season game by game, 30 years on. And welcome to 1992. It's a new year. That's exciting, isn't it?
It is. What did you do for New Year?
Nothing. I mean, I'm a teenager, so stayed in mainly. I made it to midnight though. Bit tired.
Yeah.
I watched the generic television coverage. I think, was it Jules Holland?
Is he started that, has he?
Let's assume so.
Okay, good. Did you watch the bongs?
Yeah, all the bongs. All 12, I believe they were at the time, yeah.
Sang
Auld Lang Syne.
Mm.
Did that thing in the second verse where you don't quite know the words and had a jolly nice time. Should we start the new year on some positive news?
Go on.
Lots of arrests following the Man United game between Christmas and New Year. 19 arrests, 17 for drunkenness and disorder. Just the two for touting.
Which are the more offensive of those crimes? That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, drunkenness isn't a huge crime, especially not around Christmas time. I feel like they've gone over the top with that.
I think it's the throwing stuff at coaches that's been the issue, in the main anyway.
Yeah. There's only a few people doing that, though, weren't there?
You said it was you, didn't you? Didn't you confess to this on the last podcast?
My lawyers have advised me to... Not to comment on that.
Pleading the fifth. Yeah, we had a couple of buses attacked on the way to the ground before the game. There was a double-decker taking Man United fans from Leeds City Station to Elland Road. And then there was one after the game as well on Gelder Road. It was attacked. And, I mean, was there any provocation? Let's say there probably was.
Well, they were from Manchester.
Yep. But the feds, the 5-0, they are fingering Leeds fans for this one.
The Chief Superintendent David Clarkson crawling to the Man United fans. I must applaud the Manchester fans. Their behaviour was first class. All right, mate. It wasn't that good. You weren't there. Well, he probably was. He says it was the Leeds fans who caused the problem. It's just sheer stupidity. With Europe in 1992, I don't know what Europe means particularly. It's been there for a while. And they are ruining the club's image and putting its future in doubt. There can be no excuse for this sort of behaviour. It was a cracking game and the result was acceptable.
To the game itself then. And we are playing at West Ham United today, rightfully hovering around where they tend to, around the top division plug hole, flirting with the second tier. Sometimes go down, they sometimes come up. It's about where they should be, and they probably always will be, won't they? Let's face it.
I mean, they lost to that Neil Warnock character in the last game, so they can't be having that. They might as well just go down now, to be honest. But they're crap. They've lost five of their last six games.
That's a lot of losses. That's a high percentage. They're now second bottom in the table, and we go there with this lineup today to the chicken run. John Lukic, Mel Sterland, Tony DiRigo, David Batty, Chris Fairclough, Chris White, Gordon Strachan, Rod Wallace, Lee Chapman, Gary McAllister, Gary Speed, full strength with Steve Hodge and Carl Schutt on the bench. We are facing a West Ham lineup like this. Ludek McCloskey in goal.
Communist.
Exactly. Tony Gale, communist?
I don't think so.
Julian Dix, definitely not a communist.
I would say not.
No. Mitchell Thomas, Tim Breaker, Steve Potts, Stuart Slater, Kevin Keane, Ian Bishop, Mike Small, Frank McAvenny, and Trevor Morley on the bench. Billy Bonds, the Hammers manager. There was talk in the run-up to this, though, even though we ended up full strength, of players potentially being missing.
Everyone was going to be out at one point. There was the Sterland and DiRigo. Chapman had all had mysterious leg injuries. I think less complicated times, just the leg. And then Strachan's back, which is going to be an issue until his retirement, by the looks of it.
And probably beyond his retirement. as backs tend not to get much better in older ages, are they? When you start creaking up and down the stairs. Yeah, Steve Hodge also had a back injury. What? He's not that old.
Well, we've been sold a dud, haven't we? It's like Rod Wallace earlier in the season.
But yeah, he picked up a knock against Man United a few days ago, and he's on the bench though, anyway. So it's a good, it's looking like a good lineup there. And you would think from the result, which went in our favour and quite heavily, and you would have expected so as well, like because they're struggling, we're flying high near the top. It looks like a routine win against a struggling side, but it wasn't that straightforward.
The only problem was West Ham cheating to win a penalty. That threw us out of whack. I think maybe if that hadn't happened, we would have continued the good start from Lee Chapman's great goal and carried on like that. But Tony DiRico judged to have... who was it that dived? Who was that cheating man?
It was Keane who had dived somewhat, some 5 metres outside the box, and somehow managed to win a penalty for it. I mean, I'm blaming the referee. Not that it mattered too much in the end. Let's celebrate our first goal first anyway, because that was nice.
Yeah, and it came quite early on. Again, that continued theme of going at teams from the off and trying to get our noses in front inside the first 20. And we were 11 minutes in. A free kick, the origin of this one with Strack and Max stood over it on the right-hand side.
We've not seen this one before, have we? I don't think.
Not specifically, but it's a joyful little Strack Mac 1-2 to set up a cross. Somebody does... do their best to go flying in on McAllister as he's finally crossing it. But
there's an evasive skip.
Yeah, it's not the most complicated free kick routine I've ever seen, but it does the job.
Catches them out because they've essentially left one man over there in the wall, haven't they? Trying to block the ball that they imagine is going to be coming into the box, and then because we can then double up on him.
Yeah, well, there are two of them stood out there. If you watch the replays, there's two of them stood out there, but one of them seems to leave his mate to do all the work.
Yeah, and it's not actually a brilliant cross. It's amazing that Chapman gets to this. It's well behind him. He can't get any power in the header at all, but he just manages to redirect it back across goal, and it's a very nice finish.
He's better with his head than some players are with their feet, so he just backs off and backs off and backs off until he's in the right place for the ball to land on his forehead, nods it back across goal and past McClosco. It's very good.
From this point, then, you'd expect it to be one-way traffic, but it wasn't. They got back on terms 24 minutes in due to that pathetic penalty that they got.
Well, it's a pretty much a nothing ball, just drops in the middle, and it's McAvennie hooks it over the top. I mean, DiRigo is kind of to blame for his weak back pass, because if he just puts more on this, he doesn't create any problem for himself. But because he's left it a bit short, he feels the need to kind of step across and block Keane coming around the outside of him. I think it's barely a foul anyway.
Obstruction, indirect free kick.
It should be, if anything, an indirect free kick on the edge of the box. But I think players get away with that about a dozen times in a game normally.
He doesn't do anything. He sort of puts an arm out to stop Keane from running in on Lukic. And Keane just runs into his arm and goes flying. And nothing happens in the penalty area. I think that's the other crucial thing, whether it's a foul or not. None of what was not a foul does not happen in whatever the... I'm confused.
It was like a clothesline. He treated it like a clothesline in WWF, like Hulk Hogan had taken him down.
But it's not a foul, and it's not in the box.
Yeah, so that's two big reasons not to give a penalty. You'd think that would be enough. No foul, not in the box. To me, that's not a penalty. The referee seems to think differently because the referee is on West Ham's side when it comes to cheating. And I've got to say as well...
lead-taking bastard?
When Mike Small, their strike partner for Frank McAvennie, he's not that small. He's a big fella. So that's lies as well.
No nominative determinism there, no?
What about Dix, who puts the penalty away? Well, going nominative determinism.
Exactly. Lukic actually does go the right way on the penalty, doesn't he? But it is struck well past his left-hand side. But we are not to be downhearted for too long, because... they equalise on 24, but we go back in front before half-time, 38 minutes in, and it's 2-1. And it's a long ball that's the source of this one.
Up towards Chapman, as is sort of standard, but it ricochets around between him and the defender, and then Chapman gets onto the loose ball and does a bit of a looping through ball to McAllister.
It's a great pass.
It is. It's a good pass.
It's a well-measured assist, is this one, I think.
I wasn't trying to suggest otherwise. It's a good...
I think maybe it's just because it's knocked into the shade by the finish as well, because he absolutely twats that.
Yeah, I don't think they expect him to hit this quite as early or quite as hard. McClosco just sort of lays on the floor and goes...
Well, it's almost like he's slightly off balance to his right, isn't it? And that's why the ball sort of arcs into the top corner. Or was it completely intentional, do you think?
I'd say it's intentional. And no one's saving this.
And certainly not a weak-wristed communist.
Well, it wasn't even, he dived the wrong way. He's expecting it to go to across him. And instead, McAllister just absolutely smacks it into his near top corner. And so McCloskey is just left lying on the floor, diving the wrong way. And even before he's hit the deck, the ball is in the top corner because he has hit it that hard. Although it didn't really stay there because of the silly little size of West Ham's goals. There's not a lot of room in the back of the net. So the ball kind of comes bouncing out again and almost hits McCloskey on the back of the head, which would have been justice, but it does spoil the aesthetics somewhat. Although I can't make my mind up. I kind of like the fact you can see how powerful it was because of how far the ball comes bouncing out. But also you want to see a ball nestle, really, don't you?
That does, yeah, it deserved to hit the back of the net and then roll down back into a deep corner, didn't it? But sadly not. Although there is, like you said, there is something very satisfying about a proper thwack that comes bouncing back out. Although I'm surprised that that bloody Ron Groves, is it, the ref, didn't disallow it.
It's come off the bar, as far as he could see.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And into the second half. And actually, second half was something of a grind, wasn't it? Because Wilco, speaking afterwards about the performance, says, well, obviously the result was good and we'll get to the third goal in a minute, but performance not great.
And Lukic had to make some decent saves in this game as well to keep it looking easy. So there's one in particular from Bishop and then a follow-up, which he did incredibly well to save. So it maybe wasn't quite as comfortable as the scoreline has it appearing.
Perhaps, I don't know, the suggestion that the players had been enjoying New Year's themselves. I mean, I did check the, it wasn't Jules Holland, it was Clive James.
That's who I meant.
Yeah.
And he plays the piano, doesn't he? With his friends.
He has people in to play the piano sometimes.
And well, there's definitely somebody playing a piano on my telly on New Year's Eve.
Would it have been...
only young and my memory's not great.
Which one of his guests out of John Major, John McCarthy, Boris Yeltsin, Madonna, Norman Schwarzkopf, would have been, I don't know if they're guests or if he was just commenting on them. Obviously, I was tucked up in bed. This was after A Question of Sport had been on with Willie Carson, Gareth Edwards, Brendan Foster and Emlyn Hughes. Yeah, it was either that or Jonathan Ross doing the New Year celebrations from Moscow. Might have been the distraction on
Channel
4.
Speaking of, well, communism is on the way out, isn't it? That's Yeltsin has been there on Clive James and you've got Ross who's over in Moscow.
Yeah, so and then you've got Ludic McCloskey in goal for West Ham.
Not doing a good job.
They could have been trying to get some scouting information about McCloskey by staying up late watching that, and then it's a distracted performance.
But what we did conclude was there was definitely somebody playing a piano. Yeah, Wilco said I was very pleased with the result, but our performance was not one of our better ones. I don't know really what was missing, and I do not think the players know either. Fills you full of hope. But we were that bad at times, we made West Ham look good, which is saying something. But we rounded it off, 85 minutes. Mel Stirland, he closes down their left back, who inexplicably gives the ball straight to Rod Wallace. Because you look at this at first glance and think, oh, Wallace is offside there. But no, it was actually the defender that knocked it back to him.
He's panicked. He's seen a big Mel coming towards him.
The flying pig.
Still full of energy, must be said.
Was it Dix?
Probably will have been. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, probably will have been. A limp Dick. In the last minutes of the game. But yeah, he's plays it through to Wallace and then he's I mean, the defending's abysmal, really, from West Ham, because there's two of them in the middle and neither of them bother marking Chapman.
Well, they put it straight into the Chapman corridor, doesn't he? Does Rodney Wallace? He knows exactly what he's doing.
I mean, he is very much in the in his space. But yeah, just rolls, chooses not to head this one because it's across the floor.
So. I think, though, he could have. He had enough time and space to get down and nod it in if he wanted to.
Yeah, just rolls it into it. I mean, McCloskey's kind of trying his best to get back, but he's nowhere near.
So we wrapped up the win. That was nice. Story of the day, though, was not at West Ham, was it? It wasn't at Upton Park. It was at Old Trafford. Because they got dicked 4-1 at home to QPR, and it was live on the telly as well.
It's proper entertainment. Never mind whatever was on New Year's Eve at midnight. That's what you want on telly. Man United being embarrassed.
And Dennis Bailey, who got himself a hat-trick in this one, looking like the happiest man in the whole of the country.
Happiest man in all Christendom. He's a born-again Christian. God helped him to do this, he says, as he always helps me.
With some assists from Man United and other players as well, we should say. It wasn't just the Lord Almighty that bagged the goals, although they were very much a gift from God at times, weren't they? Some of that defending. Mental, isn't it? Do you think they've choked here? It's weird what they've done here. They're just completely choked. Old Trafford, they got booed off at half-time, the losers.
That just goes to show what a set of fickle bastards they are. That would never happen. Never happen at Elland Road. People booing off the Leeds team.
Loads of empty seats and empty space on the terraces as well.
I mean, it was one of those, it's hard to know if this is the start of bad form for them or whether this was just a freak game that got away from them, because 2-0 down after 5 minutes isn't the sort of thing that happens very often, even to terrible sides.
Yeah, Andy Sinton scores after three. Bailey gets his first after 5 minutes, making it 2-0. Could have been three before halftime as well. And you see the stats at halftime, 7 shots to 2. It was just one of those mad days, wasn't it?
Neither of the scum shots were on target either. Two wayward crap shots. I mean, they were right to be booed off, to be fair. And then they kind of started the second half with a bit of purpose. They brought on Giggs, who'd just been awarded his Young Eagle of the Month award. Shit, still useless. So they then Bailey makes it.
I should say
three.
It's not an actual eagle. It's because Barclays sponsored the division, obviously, and the Barclays symbol, an eagle.
Yeah, but then they get the embarrassment of QPR fans chanting, "We want four," which is great to hear on TV.
It was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, Bailey's next goal was the one that made it 3-0, chipped it over Schmeichel. They did pull one back towards the end.
It's a rubbish goal.
83 minutes.
It's an absolute mess anyway. Didn't matter.
But just when you think they might be getting a sniff, just a little bit of a late rally, no. QPR shut it down. You get Sinton who breaks down the left. And it's a good shot, actually, to be fair. Schmeichel, I think, gets his fingertips off it and just touches it onto the post, doesn't he? And then Bailey is just into stroll. And he looks shocked when this one goes in. He's like, was it really that easy for me to score?
I think he might have wondered if he was offside. Yeah. He was looking around.
He looked both ways, didn't he?
Can I have this one?
Yeah, looked for the linesman on that side, and then and just then grinned, which was very nice, and was basically grabbed by Gary Newbon before he'd even crossed the white line to come off the pitch.
Where has Bailey been? Why is he so good?
He was Fulham released him into non-league. They didn't think he was good enough, and then he came back through Birmingham. They signed him, and he scored like a 20-goal season, and then he signed for QPR. But now here he is, and he said, tomorrow morning and on Sunday, I will be saying prayers of thanks for what has happened here. And it's because of my beliefs that I won't deride Manchester United now. Sure, we hammered them.
So I'm not deriding them, but...
And I enjoyed every moment of it, but you won't hear me taking the mickey.
Excellent.
We'll do that for you.
That was well executed by Bailey, that, actually.
Yes, and Dennis Bailey ought to be regarded now as a miniature Leeds United legend for this brilliant display.
And the implication there, of course, is that Manchester United are a godless club who deserve to be beaten as a result of that.
But it was funny watching this and seeing Roy Weggley he had chances across this game, and there was one actually after Bailey had scored his hat-trick where Weggley should have easily made it 5 right in the last minute there. Mm. Like, it wasn't far off an open net that he just had to slam it into.
It could have been any score, and when they cut away to Ferguson's face at various points during the game, that was great as well.
Mm.
That was really good.
Very sour-faced, wasn't he, surprisingly?
I think we've got the audio of his post-match comments.
What's happened out there is just unbelievable. We got what we deserved, but perhaps all this has come at the right time. I show the players they have to keep working. I don't think they will let me down like that again.
Sounds surprisingly sober for Alex Ferguson. Maybe he was taking it easy in the new year after a big Christmas.
Well, it was his birthday as well. He was
was it brilliant?
50 on, I think, his birthday is New Year's Eve. He just turned 50. So that was his Christmas
gift.
Present, his New Year's
yep.
present, and his birthday present.
Beautiful.
All wrapped up in one. A 4-1 embarrassment.
Well, let's talk through the results, then we'll get to the table because that has swung in our favour. That's a nice view right now. Arsenal 1-1 Wimbledon, Chelsea 1-1 with Manchester City, Coventry 1, Tottenham 2, Palace beating Notts County 1-0, Liverpool 2-1 against Sheffield United, Man United 1, QPR 4 there, Norwich 2-1 against Villa, Forest and Luton 1-1, Wednesday and Oldham 1-1, Southampton 1, Everton 2, and us going to West Ham and winning 3-1 means that we are back top of the league on New Year's Day.
A goal difference has closed in as well.
Well, it has. Do you remember at the start of the season, they were running away with it in terms of goal difference, weren't they?
Looked bad at one stage, but yeah, just two behind them now.
So we are top. Played 24 with 49 points and a goal difference of plus 23. Man United second. They have two games in hand. They've played 22 games. They have a goal difference of 25, two better than us and 1 point behind us. So what's better, games in hand or points on the board? That's the question.
Games in hand, probably.
Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday sitting in third on 23 games as well. Then, so Man United have still got a game in hand on them. They've got 40 points, so 9 points off us. And obviously, we've got to go there soon, haven't we, in the league. So that'll be a tough test. Man City in fourth, also on 40 points. At the other end, Southampton now bottom on 19 points. West Ham, who we beat there, they have 20. You've got Sheffield United on 21, Luton 22, and then a little bit of a gap to Notts County now. On 25 points. So a good start to 1992, even if Wilco wasn't happy.
Maybe we'll make him happier on Sunday in the FA Cup. I know Alex Ferguson is saying his players won't let him down like that again, but Neil Webb, he's had his goal, hasn't he, against us, so he's never going to do that again.
No one needs to see that on the telly again, do they?
No, but we can, if we can have Alex Ferguson looking miserable twice in a week on different channels, ITV for the league and then BBC for the FA Cup, that would be perfect.
Well, we look forward to that one, then. We'll speak to you soon.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.